Okay, Ross Baker, Obama, the president, President Obama, has 1 year left on his presidency. What's the game plan?
Well, I guess this is referred to generically as legacy politics. And there are a number of things that I think he would like to do. Clearly, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is something that is he sees, I think, as the capstone of his administration. If the Affordable Act, Affordable Care Act, was the overture of his administration, I think that the encore or the last act is clearly the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He already has the so-called fast track authority. The question is, can he get the votes in the House and Senate to pass it?
But is it a popular thing, Ross, among Democrats?
No, it's not. It's probably much more popular among Republicans, and he may find himself in a position in which the arm twisting is going to have to be with Democrats and not with Republicans. And clearly the issue here is, of course, the labor unions, who are a very important source of support for the Democratic Party, and particularly for Democrats in certain states, don't like it. And even though the president has done his best to reassure them, the president, I don't think, has a particularly good feel for the unions. I think he feels in some ways they're kind of anachronistic, except perhaps for, let's say, the service workers and so on, who, it's a large union and tends to be a union that attracts a lot of recent immigrants to the United States. But I think that he's got to fight his battle within the Democratic Party.
He was able to get other things done when he needed to with the Republicans. He gets a budget. He gets other things. Is he seen by the Democratic masses, basically, as a trustworthy partisan?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. There's certain sections of the Democratic Party who love the guy. One of the most loyal, steadfast, pillars of the Democratic Party are African American voters, for whom he is, I think, justifiably a real hero. To a somewhat lesser degree, but still very, very positive, are Latinos. I mean, there are some leaders in the Hispanic community, such as people who refer to him as the deporter in chief, who I think have a very unrealistic view of border security. I think the president has, in general, done a pretty good job at weeding out the people who don't belong here. But he's certainly not going to basically leave the border unguarded. And I think you see that with these unaccompanied young men, who I think are being deported. So I think the record is a little bit more mixed there. The unions have never really warmed to the guy for a variety of reasons. Their agenda is not his agenda. But he definitely has his followers in the rank and file of the party. And I think in many ways feel, reasonably comfortable with him.
Let's go to Paul Ryan, if we can, as we run out of time here. Here's the speaker. He takes over for John Boehner. There are those people who are now seeing this mess that the Republicans finding themselves in as a brokered convention, and perhaps Ryan coming out as the choice.
I kind of discount that. Yeah. I think that Ryan's got his hands full in the House of Representatives. Right now, we're in Paul Ryan's honeymoon period. That most of the dirty work, that is the omnibus appropriations bill, yep, everything attached to it, was the handiwork of John Boehner. And there was a sense of that we just have to pass this thing. We don't need a government shutdown. So in a sense, it's the House of Representatives is still running on John Boehner's fuel tank. And I think that people have said that we should give Paul Ryan a break, but he's already getting a tremendous amount of blowback from, particularly from the talk radio Republicans, people like Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh. And these are influential people. And they sort of feel that he's too, like John Boehner, he's too ready to make deals with Democrats, not ready to dig in his heels, not stalwart enough, and so on. not really willing to push the conservative agenda. But, you know, I think there's something that people need to understand about the conservatives in the House of Representatives. You know, part of their issues with John Boehner and also part of the dynamic between them and Paul Ryan has to do with participation. These are people who, generally speaking, have been people elected since 2010. They're very junior, and they feel excluded. They feel they've been left out. And, you know, being a very junior House member is not the most prestigious thing in the world. And I think what you saw in the so-called Freedom Caucus was a bunch of angry young members saying, hey, include me. Don't do all of this important stuff in the Speaker's office with the Speaker's staff. And I think that that's really one of the most important things that's overlooked in these rebellions against Republican leadership in the House of Representatives.
Interesting. We have a couple of minutes left. I want to talk to you about the unheard of person these days, and that's Mitch McConnell. What do you make of his role?
Well, it's been a very successful session for Mitch McConnell. He is in position, obviously, to moderate what happens that comes over from the House of Representatives. That's what's made him public enemy number one for many House conservatives. But McConnell has a very firm grasp on what is achievable and what's not achievable in the United States Senate. He does not have 60 Republican senators. Were he to have 60 Republican senators, you would see a very different Mitch McConnell. He's got 54. That does not get you over the filibuster threshold. So he's got to deal with Democrats. He's got to be able to accommodate the fact that they will not tolerate the defunding of Planned Parenthood's medical services to women. He's got to understand that he's not really going to be able to get the kinds of social policies or eliminate the social programs that he'd like to get rid of. He's worked very, very deftly, with great skill. His relationship with Harry Reid is not a cordial one. It's I would say at best it's correct, and it's best moments it's correct. And I think he's done a very good job of shepherding things through the Senate.
Our guest has been Professor Ross Baker, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Rutgers University, generally regarded by most of us as the go-to guy if you want to know what's going on in the United States House of Representatives, the Senate, and the presidency. Ross Baker served as scholar-in-residence in the office of then-Majority Leader Harry Reid in 2008 and 2012. Ross Baker, those students at Rutgers are so lucky to have you as their professor in their classes, and I know they know it. And we thank you for all you do for us and coming on the radio with us and talking to our people. Thanks, Ross.
Thanks, Sean. You've been very generous.